Well, hello, hello, and oh, welcome. Welcome back to Waffle Free Storytelling. It's Tina Constant here. You know where the jibber jabber is. So we're jumping right into this week's story, which is called A Fair Exchange. Now, ask anyone about the house on the hill, and everyone will say that a wise person would stay away because that was the home of Uriah Button. Nobody knew how old she was, because nobody could remember a time when she wasn't there. With all the mystery that surrounded that old woman, you can imagine the stories that flowed. There were horror stories at bedtime and stories of murder and revenge around firesides. Nothing kind was ever said about Uriah Button, but nothing was ever done about her either. And so the village folks and Uriah Button lived in a strange, uneasy truce. Once a week, the village would deliver bread and eggs and meat and milk and cheese to the house on the hill, and in return, Uriah would send bags of coal so people could burn fires at night and through the winters, no matter how cold they got. Some would say Uriah Button gave more than she got. The village didn't think so at all. There she was, sitting on the top of a hill full of coal, and all she ever gave was just enough to light their fires for 1 week and no more. What happens if we don't deliver bread and milk and meat and egg and cheese? What would happen then? Would we all freeze to death, or would she die of hunger first? The brave talk never lasted. And over time, the food became something akin to a sacrifice, an offering to a demon or a witch or an oracle at best. Now, of course, there was the practicality of how to deliver the sacrifice to the demon or the witch or the oracle at best. And the person the village chose for the job was Jackson. Once a week, he'd drive up the hill, deliver the box of food, and return with bags of coal. Jackson wasn't chosen by mistake. He was chosen because he was perfect for the job. You see, from the day he was born, this boy never made a sound. Not one. He didn't cry. He didn't whimper. He never spoke. His parents didn't care. They quite enjoyed the silence. If he was simply going to go up and down the hill, it was better that he didn't speak. He won't be able to tell the witch about us, and we most certainly don't want to hear about the witch from him. So as soon as Jackson could walk, he was given a sled, and he started his weekly journeys. When he was tall enough, he was given a pony, and when his legs could reach the pedals, he made use of the only truck in the village. In this way, it became his job to take the deliveries up the hill and return with bags of coal. In this particular year, winter felt much, much more vicious, and the town council, made up of fathers and brothers, sons and grandfathers, all gathered. After much discussion and debate, they decided they needed more coal. "Our fires must burn day and night," they said. But even when they added a whole dozen more eggs to the delivery, only a small amount more coal came down the hill. "This isn't good enough," the councillors agreed. And to show they wouldn't be trifled with, the next week they sent only half as much as Uriah Button requested, and they demanded twice as much as she usually gave. Jackson didn't waver. He didn't so much as blink. He took the eggs and milk, the meat, the bread and the cheese, only half the weight he usually carried, along with a message from the councillors, and he drove up the hill. But when he returned with only half as much coal. The councillors were furious. "How dare she? How dare she hoard the only thing we need?" But they were stubborn. The next week, they only sent her a quarter of her order. "We'll starve her out," they said. And when Jackson returned with only a quarter of the coal they needed, they made the unanimous decision that they didn't need her at all. While the fathers, brothers, sons, and grandfathers all ranted and raved, the mothers, daughters, sisters, and grandmothers looked on with concern, especially when, instead of using coal to warm their fires, the counselors ordered the trees cut down. And cut they did. Acres and acres of trees around the village were torn and shredded and dried for firewood. Ask anyone in the village, and they would say that that winter was the brightest their fires ever glowed. Every time they wanted to light the fire, all they had to do was cut down another tree. By the end of two winters, they had hacked away half the forest. They were ready to keep on cutting down trees well into the third winter, but that year, the snow came early, and with half the forest gone, there were no trees to protect the village. The cold gripped their small houses in cocoons of ice. With no coal and no wood to burn, the wolves circled the village. The people bundled together in just a few homes and set fire to everything they could. Despite their stubbornness, Jackson still went up the hill, even if his truck was empty, and he came down with a corresponding amount of coal. Nothing for nothing. Things got so cold and so hard that the council finally got together and said, "We'll storm her house. We'll take what's ours." Three of the strongest men on the council volunteered. They climbed into the back of Jackson's van. They hid under a tarpaulin and, armed with knives, were driven up the mountain. Snow fell thick and heavy, and the villagers waited all day. At sunset, Jackson came down to the village, and lo and behold, he had three of the biggest bags of coal the village had ever seen. The council was ecstatic. "We've taught her a lesson. We have shown her our force, and she has relented. But where are the three men?" The people asked and asked Jackson, but of course he could not speak. Needless to say, the people were cold and the men were soon forgotten with words like, "Oh, I'm sure they will make their way home." Comforted enough, they lit their fires. They were warm, and with the fires burning hot, the wolves stayed away. 3 weeks later, the coal was gone. And once more, three counselors hid in Jackson's truck, armed with knives and weapons and chains, with instructions to find and bring back the first three men and all the coal they could carry. The villagers waited all day. When Jackson returned, the men were nowhere to be seen, but there was coal. A lot of it. A whole truckload. Concern for the six missing men didn't last as fires were lit and homes were heated. This time, the coal lasted 6 weeks. Finally, the last three councilmen, including Jackson's own father, declared they would go up to the mountain and demand the return of the first six men and take every piece of coal Uriah Button had. Armed to the teeth, they piled into Jackson's truck and forced the young man to drive. With no way to say no, he had no choice but to obey. Snow fell thick and heavy, and the path seemed to go for longer than it should, until finally Jackson stopped in front of the small wooden cottage. The last three counselors were so cold they could hardly move. Only Jackson got out as if he had been born into that ice and snow, and the wind on his face was nothing to him. He knocked on the door, and Uriah Button, tall and graceful, grey hair flowing all the way down to her knees, looked out the door and said, "What do we have today?" And Jackson pointed to the three men in the truck. "A fair exchange," the old woman said, and gave him nine bags of coal. Jackson's father and the two men were too cold to resist. They were bundled out the truck, tied to a tree, stripped of their coats, and left to freeze while Jackson piled the coal into the truck. "A fair exchange," the old woman said again. "This will keep the wolves fed for 9 weeks. The village will be safe." Not looking back even once, Jackson got into the truck and trundled down the road back to the village, distributing the coal to all the homes, leaving the wives and the mothers to light the fires. The last delivery was to his own home. He lit the fire and sat warming his hands by his mother's side. They didn't speak. They didn't have to. Finally, Jackson's mother picked up a basket and took a lump of cheese, 2 eggs, a loaf of bread, a pound of meat and a cup of milk, and put it into a basket. She went to the next house, and the woman of the house took a lump of cheese, 2 eggs, a cup of milk, a loaf of bread and a pound of meat, and added it to the basket. And so around the village the women went, each one adding food to the basket. Just as the coal supplies were running low, Jackson got into the truck with the basket, drove up to the house and delivered the food. Uriah Button unpacked the goods. "A fair exchange," she said, and gave Jackson enough coal to warm the village for a month. So it was that a new council was formed, a council of mothers and grandmothers, daughters and sisters. And from that day on, no one ever forgot the frozen winter when the trees were torn down and the wolves were at the door. Nobody mourned the council of men who came so close to destroying the lives of every soul in that village, all for the lack of a fair exchange. Ha! I think I'm watching too much news. This little story was inspired by the current shenanigans going on in the world over trade, over... Oh my gosh, you just can't believe what's happening in the world right now. Anyway, that's where this story comes from, with perhaps a little hope of the future. I don't know. Hey, anyway, how's your lovely day going? I hope you're getting just the right amount of rain or snow or wind or sun or whatever it is that you like best. And have a beautiful day. If you haven't dropped around to www.tinaconstant.com, that's Constant with a K, go ahead and do so. You can join the fireside there. That's it. My goodness. Before I ramble, I will go away. Have a beautiful week. Bye-bye now. See you next time. My wife, my gift.